Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Welcome to War of the Bay podcast. My name is Kyle.
My name is Nick.
So much to talk about on this podcast. So many things have happened in the last week.
And not just football.
Not just football. It's everything. But first of all, first and foremost, Happy New Year to everybody out there. Thank you for joining us for another year.
Nope. First and foremost, happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
My co-host, Kyle.
Turned 29 on New Year's Day and had the craziest party of my life on New Year's Eve. I could safely say, maybe not my life. Yeah, maybe my... Actually.
That was pretty close, man.
That's at least top five. If I had to list the most craziest fucked up nights of my life, that's top five. For reasons I am not willing to admit on the podcast, y'all can connect the dots. But there was more than alcohol involved.
We'll leave it at
we'll
that.
We'll leave it at that. But any fucking who, thank you to everybody who was a part of that, especially you, Nick, and Jonathan was out there. Jonathan, of course, hangs out until 5 in the morning.
Like a fucking trooper.
Like a fucking trooper.
I was out of there at 12:30.
Yeah, that's Jonathan. That's I've always known Jonathan to be that way. I love him. And I don't know, great times. Great. I had a great New Year's Eve, great New Year's Day, great birthday. Because I actually planned it this year. You know, I always like, you always have those years where you feel bad for yourself because you're not doing anything on your birthday. It was because you start to realize, well, I'm a fucking adult. I need to plan these sort of things for it to happen.
Yeah, things just don't happen.
Yeah. Everybody's got a fucking birthday. Nobody's going to take time out of their day to you know, they'll say happy birthday to you, but they're not going to go out of the way unless you ask them to.
Yep.
That's how pretty it goes. Much. That's how being an adult works. So, to all you kids listening out there, look forward to that. Look forward to hating yourself in, you know, a good few years.
Oh, it'll be, I used to know what it was.
No.
Now it scares me.
I used to, no. The quote goes, I used to be with it, but then they changed what it was. Now what it is seems weird and scary to me, or something like that. Now what?
That was close.
Now what I'm with isn't it. And what is it is weird and scary. Anyways, everybody's bored with it. They're like, Simpsons reference. Talk about Rick and Morty some more, you fucking old fuck.
Or we can go last episode with South Park, the ruse.
You broke the ruse. Fuck you.
No, we're not going down that path.
Oh, no. I would like to go down that path because...
rules path?
The rules path. You broke the ruse, because... The Hall of Fame voting, or the Hall of Fame ballots came out today, or in fact, what would you call it? Like the winners or the Hall of Fame? They announced who was going to be in the Hall of Fame.
The electees,
the people. Basically, Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr. Yeah, they got into the Hall of Fame, and good for them. They absolutely deserve it. I just don't give a shit about the Baseball Hall of Fame, to be honest with you.
I just don't give two shits.
Really don't. As soon as you start... So go ahead and let Barry Bonds in, and then give me a call, and then that's when I'll start to care about the Hall of Fame.
Stop being a hypocrite. As soon as you like let Pete Rose in, we'll listen again.
Yeah. Are we all just like kidding ourselves and thinking like fucking Tony Gwynn is just completely clean, or that, you know, are you to tell me that Greg Maddux was, you know, everything was above the line on Greg Maddux, baby. Nothing crazy there on that guy.
I'll say this much for his velocity. Yeah, you can make the argument that he never took anything.
Yeah, you don't think he fucking threw a few spitballs or up some dirt into a ball to get a little extra?
I think that's in a completely different vein than PEDs, but I'll say it's all cheating.
Look, if we're going to make a big stink out of Tom Brady taking a few PSI out of a football, then Greg Maddux throwing a spitball out there to get some extra...
Is the devil.
Yeah, to get some movement on his pitch. I mean, what's the difference? What's the difference? Somebody tweet me, at KyleWOTB. What is the difference between Greg Maddux throwing a spitball and Tom Brady taking two PSI out of his football? Nothing. That's the fucking difference. Hypocrites. Oh, it's baseball versus football. Just don't get me going on this, man. I understand that, you know, I'm not trying to accuse Tony Gwynn or Greg Maddux or whoever the fuck you want. I'm not saying that they're using PEDs, despite what you might have heard literally a minute and a half ago. I'm just saying that nobody's innocent here. It just so happens that you know, Barry Bonds was highly publicized as being a quote-unquote cheater. It's just so stupid.
It's what the media dictated was more relevant. Yeah. That's all.
This was the bigger deal. Well, what about Greg Maddux? Oh, that's part of the game, buddy. He's using suntan lotion to sink his fastball there. Hey, yeah, well, you know what? Part of the game there, Chief. Okay. All right, fine. And then, everything's fine. 80s roll around, 90s roll around, 2000s roll around. Patriots win 4 Super Bowls. All of a sudden, Tom Brady's altering balls, and now it's a fucking problem.
You know, maybe they need maybe the NFL and the Major League Baseball needs to adopt something like that the NHL does. And if any point in time the opposing coach can challenge the arc on a stick, because, you know, if you bend it too much, it's illegal.
Right.
We should have that in the NFL and in Major League Baseball.
I didn't know that. So, like, I guess I kind of assumed that was a thing, but I never knew that there was that sort of regulation.
Oh, yeah. Every ref, there's, like, a way of measuring it. There's, like, a tool that they have that they pull it out. And if it's I forget what happens to the player. Anthony, I know you're in the chat. Maybe help me out here. But something happens. It's a penalty, or that guy loses his stick or can't play.
You don't get to play anymore.
Yeah. He has to play without a stick. Yeah.
You go play with this this curtain rod. We're going to give you this curtain rod. Go out there and get him.
Think about what you've done.
Yeah. I like that. Maybe.
But they should be able to, like, check the PSI and the balls if they're so concerned about it. Or, you know, like,
I don't know. It's a huge double standard between baseball and football, the way that we perceive. Like, look at the HGH allegations that came out against Manning. We talked about it a little bit the last podcast. But did you see that photo, that meme of Peyton Manning's head compared to his time at Tennessee to now, where his forehead is just gigantic? Like, his forehead grew.
His receding hairline's gotten worse, too.
Well, that plus, that, like, it's a direct side effect of HGH use. Like, look at Alex Rodriguez's forehead. I mean, it's
oh, shit.
Yeah. It is a side effect. It's what happens. Your forehead grows. You become more Neanderthal than anything else.
Hit ball or throw it. Hand it off. Brock Osweiler, save me. Give me my Super Bowl
ring. You ever think eventually Manning is going to stroke out, and then eventually he'll always have to speak in that jingle?
I really have to go to the bathroom. Someone help me kill myself.
Yeah, yours was much better.
I no longer want to live. You gotta, like, partner with Papa John. Papa John's, you taste so good.
Exactly.
Anthony saying,
"Oh, it's okay." So Anthony said it's a minor penalty.
Minor penalty. Okay, that makes sense. I wonder if we'll see, like, a governing body over all major sports.
All sports.
Yeah, that'll be the day when I say
it's like
it's
a brain trust of Ed Hockley and the
Jerry West, Ed Hockley. And then whatever Jean-Paul Pierre, Brian, something that
for the NHL.
For the NHL. and then the basketball.
Paul Macca. What's his name? Paul Macca.
Paul McAdoo? I don't know. Raise Bear Bryant from the dead. Have him be the head of the fucking.
There you go.
Yeah. Back in my day, it was concussions.
The hell hit somebody.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's the guy who we want running the rules and regulation.
Yeah, yeah. Vince Lombardi, Bear Bryant, and then Roger Staubach.
They don't do fines anymore. He just issues out, like checks for people. It's like, you had head contact.
I know we're getting a little off topic here, but I saw an article.
Oh, you really? You really think?
Well, it's par for the course. I saw an article about heads-up tackling and the amount of or just the way it reduces the amount of head-to-head contact when they do drills specifically geared towards tackling without your helmet on. It was insane. I wish I could find the article now, but
that makes absolute sense.
Yeah,
you know who they need to make the rule maker is Rondé Barber, because all he ever did was tackle with technique.
There you go. Yeah, I might have seen him go for the head every once in a while, but.
Yeah, but he weighs all of like 100 pounds when he's soaking wet. So
anywho, let's try to get back on point, right?
What point?
Fuck Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, fuck Tony Gwynn.
No, so, I think it's so silly that these baseball writers don't, you know, the integrity of the game. We can't put guys like Clements or Bonds or McGuire in the Hall of Fame. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, but this year, Bonds, Clemens, and McGuire all had higher percentages of the vote than they ever had before.
I have the exact percentage. So Clemens this year got 45.2% of the vote, which was up from 37.5 last year. Bonds got 44.
You need 75, though.
You need 75. But that's a significant margin that he agrees by.
Well, they retired 100 sports or writers.
I hope what this is just like the older dudes dying off, and then like the younger.
That's exactly
guys.
What it is.
Yeah,
they're retiring off the older crop who are clinging to this clean game bullshit.
Yeah, and then the younger guys are like, "Look, this is what we grew up with. This is what the game is. Put the guys in the Hall of Fame. I enjoy it." Are you gonna tell me as the Giants owner, are you gonna refund the money that you made off of Barry Bonds' back, or the millions of dollars that you made off of him, the Cubs? I'm looking at you too with Sammy Sosa. You gonna refund any of that? Is any of that illegitimate at this point? Fuck no, it's not.
No, that's money in their pockets.
Yeah. Oh, but he can't go in the Hall of Fame. Of course not. Fuck this guy. Like, you knew. You fucking, everybody knew. Like, are you mean to tell me you're... Anyways.
Well, you know what's sad about this for one of them is McGuire. This was his last year to be on the ballot.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, you only get 10 years. You get a decade of eligibility before you're... The only way you can get in is, I believe, a special Hall of Famer vote, which is like,
I'll never ever in my life forget that race between McGuire and Sosa, and
that was one of the coolest moments in sports, not just baseball for me, but one of the coolest moments in sports.
Yeah, I still remember where I was when he broke the record. I was sitting in my room, my dad was watching the game outside, and he's like, He did it. And I'm like, oh my God, he did it. And like, yeah, I come running out, and sure enough, there's the ball going over the I think it was like the left field wall, just above the ball. And I was like, oh my God, I just watched history. Like, and that guy's not in the Hall of Fame? Really? He's never going to be in the Hall of Fame after next year? Really?
Yeah. There's still a chance. Really, there is still a chance, but still.
It's a joke.
It's that's a rough draw for him.
I don't understand
if you, well, how are you going to let him coach and be a participating, you know, member of a team in your league and say, no, he can't go in our Hall of Fame. He's cheated.
I hope when he turns like 60 or 70, he becomes a manager and just like the greatest manager of all time. And everybody's like, but he cheated somehow.
Yeah. He's going to go back in the Hall of Fame, and then he'll retire from coaching, and then he'll have 10 years to be a coach. That'll work.
Yeah, somehow. I don't know.
Bullshit.
I have the number in front of me of the percentage of the vote that McGuire got. I want you to take a guess at what it is. Keeping
for
in
this
mind.
Year?
Yeah, Clements got 45.2. Bonds got 44.3. What do you think Mark McGuire got this year? Being one of his
50. Just go at half.
Mm.
You got 50.
You're way high. Take another shot. Yeah,
20.
That's closer. It's 12.3.
Oh, Mark!
Isn't that sad?
That is sad.
Yeah. Anthony Strike Twice TB says, "I say we release 300 mongoose named Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame. I fucking love that one. Let's see what happens then." Nick and I go to Cooperstown, two giant crates in tow.
This guy, is how we get banned from the Hall of Fame.
Security's like, hey, what's...
It's in the boxes.
It's in the crates. Memorabilia. Okay. Open it up.
Yeah, you seem pretty white.
300.
You can go through.
What's the plural of mongoose? Is it gooses or geese?
Mongoose.
300 mongoose with Barry Bonds jerseys. Running amok in Cooperstown, New York. Yeah. That's the world I want to live in.
It's a shame. I don't understand how Major League Baseball lets them operate within their league, and they're still kind of holding a grudge against these guys. Well, like, you can't have your cake and eat it too.
Well, because it's the writers. It's the baseball writers. It's these old guys that are around. You know, some dude's been working at the Denver Post, looking at you. What was his name? Woody Page. You know,
yeah,
working at some podunk newspaper for 30, 50 years, and you know, he's, oh, it's the principal. He sullied my game that I watched with my father. I'll tell you what,
is
Joe DiMaggio.
Is any of that stuff ever published? Like, do we ever get to find out what they voted?
No. Mark Tompkin actually made his
ballot.
He made his ballot public. And a couple of writers. I think a couple of writers do. Most don't, I believe.
I feel like that's more of a, hey, look at me, rather than a look what, you know. I don't know.
So one more thing on this ballot thing. Ken Griffey Jr. got the highest unanimous?
Almost unanimous.
Yeah, almost unanimous. Do you think once Derek Jeter is eligible, do you think he goes unanimous? Or?
Yes, I think he's a unanimous first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't think so, because I think there's people out there who see that Derek Jeter is eligible, know that everybody's going to vote for him, be like, well, I don't want to be the guy to vote for Derek Jeter. I'll vote for some other guy. You
know? Let me put it to you this way. You know how everybody's going crazy over Ken Griffey Jr.?
Yeah.
Well, he was amazing, and he did that with the Mariners and the Reds.
Oh, you're right.
Jeter did it with the Yankees.
The Yankees.
That alone is going to put enough. He's going to be Mr. Yankee. Are you kidding me?
Not only did it let's just go and say Roger Clemens, for example, didn't get busted for PEDs, and now he's eligible for the Hall of Fame. He's a great Yankee, but he wasn't a Yankee his entire career. Derek Jeter is like, he's a career Yankee. He's like, he's up in the likes of the DiMaggio's and the I don't know, just name a fucking guy, Barras and the
Ruth's.
Well, Ruth played for the Red Sox. And of course, I don't know if DiMaggio played for the Yankees all his whole career. I think it'll be goddamn close. It'll be like 99.9%. I don't know if it'll be unanimous.
One guy from the Boston Herald won't
fight. Fuck
no,
him.
No, fuck him.
Yeah, if Ted Williams wasn't fucking unanimous, then I'll be goddamned if Derek Jeter is.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, okay, Boston guy. Well, all right.
Who's the Boston Hall of Fame vote for?
I'm sure there's a few. I'm sure what's his Peter Gammons. I'm sure it'll be Peter Gammons who's like, oh well, I'm not voting for Jeter.
My real fault in Derek Jeter's game is the fact that he
look, that little stupid thing he made at shortstop, that wasn't even that cool.
Skip, that's inefficient.
Wasn't even that cool. Yeah, he got lucky on that play, the home plate in the playoffs.
Yeah, nobody runs that drill.
Yeah, so you know, well, for some other. I'll get Nomar Garciaparra in there before I get.
Yeah,
cheated.
That's another thing. Nomar was his last. This year was his last year for eligibility. So yeah. Nomar Garciaparra is never going to be.
Nomar Garciaparra got dick in terms of voting. I think he got like.
Oh yeah.
One like a single digit percentage.
Yeah, I was about to say he was less than 10%.
Yeah. Cool. Man, we went on this longer than I thought we would. It's fun.
Yeah, it's baseball.
Baseball.
We're starved for it.
Oh, it's coming up soon. I can't wait. Can't wait to, like, I'm going to get that email soon to buy my tickets and. I'm just tailgating. But for now, it's hockey season, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And on to hockey season we go.
On to hockey season. I saw Vasi stand on his head more or less the other night. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Dude played well.
He looked like Vasilevsky from last year.
Yeah. Now I can really, really start paying attention to the Lightning now that the Bucks season is over. I know, it's sad.
Be prepared for more of Bucks season-esque.
I mean that goddamn Calgary game. What a fucking what a joke!
Shame.
Yeah, what a shame that was. Stamkos with the only goal. But let's start with the good. I mean, Vasi played really well, or I'd say he played good. But it just he played that shootout was awesome, man.
That was a game that was a game to remember for him.
He played those dudes so he played the he every guy he played so well. Came no fear. I saw no fear
there,
in the dude.
Am I correct?
Yeah, he skated right out on him, man. He came out of the goal, you know, out of his I don't know the proper terminology, but. He took him head on.
Cut,
no
he cut down the
fucking
angle.
Fear. Cut down. Yeah, it's just I saw no fear in his eyes in that. And this is really the guy that I expect in the future. He did have that soft goal that he let in the boneheaded goal that he let in the second where he was playing the puck and I think he misplayed the puck and it was just an empty netter easy.
Yeah, it looked like a rookie.
Yeah,
goal. Like he just.
Yeah, like dudes like Ramo and Price and just, you know, like your top tier dudes, they let that happen. Maybe
wait, did you say Ramo?
I'm sorry, not Ramo, dude? But who am I thinking of?
I have no idea, man.
Not Ramo. Holy shit, I don't know.
Rosk?
No,
who's Rosk?
Lundqvist. Why did I fucking say Ramo? I don't know what the fuck I'm thinking.
We played. We played Calgary the other night.
Yeah, but dudes like Lundqvist and Price, like they're I'm an Eastern fuck. Go fuck yourself. you know they let that kind of goal happen once every 2 years. You know.
Yeah, and I've seen that happen a few times for Vasi.
I think Price have like some dumbass.
Yeah, but like you just said, every goalie has a bad game.
Yeah, I think every goalie lets in a bad one every once in a while. But I mean, Vasi needs to just kind of tighten up on that kind of. That's something you can't do. That being said, I thought he played a tremendous game on Saturday night.
Anthony put it perfectly. It's a mental lapse.
Mental lapse, yeah. I would agree with that.
Speaking of mental lapse, I'm not going to be the first one to be all pro Sidney Crosby or anything, but him not being in the All-Star game is kind of a fucked up.
What, that happened?
Yeah.
No shit, really?
Sidney Crosby and Henrik Lundqvist both got snubbed for the...
Hank.
All-Star game.
Oh, Hank.
And Ben Bishop and Stamkos are the only representatives for the Lightning.
Hmm. Didn't Crawford not make it too?
For the Western Conference? I don't know. It's a weird All-Star game. The way they have it set up is by divisions. So there's four captains representing each division.
Ah.
And they're playing 3-on-3 hockey.
Oh, they're
so
doing that.
Like three defensemen got to go. It was stupid. It's just...
It's
a popularity contest because one of the captains is a guy that's on Arizona that only has 6 points this year.
I mean, that's how it was that's how it is with every sport, really, at this point. When you have is the portion of the NHL All-Star game, is there a portion of it that's fan voting, like a percentage?
Yeah, I'm tired of this popularity contest bullshit.
That's how it's always going to be, though. You know.
Oh, I know. I'm just tired of it. It's becoming. They're not even trying to hide it anymore.
As soon as you. But the thing is like, what is the NHL going to do? They're going to take the voting away from the fans and then leave it up to the writers and the players, and then you know.
Well, the NHL has a whole other issue to deal with when it comes to their All-Star game. They need to stop tweaking it.
They need to stop tweaking.
It literally is one of the best All-Star events and weekends in professional sports. And now you're changing it to go 3-on-3. Stop touching the game. You're messing with it.
You know what? Speaking of 3-on-3, that the 3-on-3 I saw on Saturday was like the first one I've actually sat down and got to watch for an extended amount of time. It was boring, to be honest. There were exciting moments. There were a few, you know, where we should have scored, but just I don't know. I think the whole 3-on-3 thing, I feel like it kind of backfired on the NHL a little bit.
Well, I think it's a give or take. You're either going to get no action or all action.
Yeah.
Because that's all it takes. It takes one team to start chasing the other, and then...
Well, they're professionals.
You know, as soon as the goalie makes a save, it's a, you know, it's an odd number rush the other way.
We're talking about professionals. It seems like every team's giving them like, oh, well, let's play conservative until the 5 minutes runs out, and then, you know, if you got your chance, take it. If not, good shootout.
Yeah.
And all the fans are like, fuck. Shootout.
Yeah, there was a Lightning game like 2 years ago. We were, I don't think it was Cooper, maybe it was 3 years ago. We refused to forecheck.
Oh yeah,
we sat back in a 1-4.
That was Boucher.
It was Guy Boucher.
It was a Guy Boucher thing.
We were playing again. I think it was the Devils, and they refused to pass
the puck.
It was
the Devils. They said even before the game, they're like, we're not going to fucking do it. Go fuck yourself.
Actually, I don't even think it was a 1-3-1. I think we were literally playing a 1-4.
Marty St. Louis just like sitting, like skating around with the puck, like, what do I do? Like, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? And then, like, they're like, nope, not doing it. So he's like, fuck it. Like, let's just go.
Yeah, like, can you imagine if the NFL did that with Chip Kelly?
They're
like, no, we refuse to play against your bullshit.
It's such a gimmicky forecheck that it's like it's so easy for somebody to be like, nah, like fuck it, like, we're not doing it. You're exactly right. It's just like a Chip Kelly kind of thing.
Like, I'm going to change the NFL.
When it works, it's great. But there's
That's why everybody loved the Wildcat.
The Wildcat. I was just going to say the Wildcat. Yeah.
Everybody loved the Wildcat. Then it went away.
1-3-1. I'll tell you what. They're not going to expect that. You know what I mean? We're going to have to. Martin, you get out there and skate in. They're never gonna think. Then you do the thing. Good, but the goal. And now he's fired. Now he's what is he doing? What is Guy Boucher up to now?
Oh, speaking of former Lightning members, we had a trade with the Philadelphia Flyers, including Vincent LeCavalier.
I love
to
this.
The Kings.
I love this. I hope he gets his playing time. It makes me so sad how things went down with him in Philly.
Oh yeah.
So I mean,
he had a great I would say great. He had a really good first year. 20 goals, 69 games. Like that's a good fit. That's a good amount of goals from somebody of his age.
Right, but then they changed they changed coaches or something. Yeah.
I don't know if they changed just coaches. I think it was they changed a lot more than that.
Yeah, it's like a philosophy change.
Anthony just brought that up. He announced he's retiring after this year.
Yeah,
he got traded,
and now he's going to retire.
If for some reason the Lightning can't make or win the Cup, go Kings.
Yeah, I'll root for Vinny LeCavalier on the Kings.
Plus, I can actually root for him on the Kings. I refuse to root for the Flyers. I can root for the Kings.
I can root for the Kings, definitely. And man, I tell you what, Vinny LeCavalier is the dude that got me into the Lightning. He'll be my all-time favorite Lightning player when it's all said and done, I think. Like, I love that dude. Love LeCavalier. So,
I don't know. I have a hard time picking one player.
The Michael Jordan of hockey. Come on.
I just have a hard time picking one player because the Lightning of all the teams in this area have proven to me that it's like, we can get rid of anybody.
Yeah,
fuck you.
It's more of a sentimental thing with me. He's just the dude I first kind of liked. Well,
I really liked Hobbit Boulin, and then he started getting DUIs and car accidents. So it's like, I can't like him.
When I was at your place this weekend for we were watching the Panthers game. I saw that Hobby Bullen bother. I was like, fuck yeah, man.
He was good.
Miss Hobby Bullen.
Yep.
Let's address the elephant in the room, shall we?
Okay, go ahead.
Jonathan Drouin has requested a trade. On Sunday, he requested a trade that has apparently been standing since November. I guess he requested all the way back in November. And it just came to light after we tried to send him to Syracuse.
So we did.
We did because he's been injured, man. The guy's been fucking up and down. So what the fuck does he expect?
He expects to be treated like Stamkos, and he's not Stamkos yet.
The thing is,
sorry, hey Drouin, you're not good enough to start demanding the attention you're getting. So
he's on the wrong
step up off your pedestal.
He's on the wrong team at the wrong time.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. He's a beta that's full of, or he's a beta that's in a team full of betas.
Yeah, I think maybe he just wants to be on a team like a developing team where he can have some real starting playoff time or can help turn the franchise around. He's not going to have that chance
first
here.
Two lines.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, he sees that he's not going to crack the triplets, and it's going to be a while before he cracks the first line should Stamkos stay. But it's what are you saying why to, Anthony? Elaborate, sir.
Well, he's saying why was he the only player that lost his spot to an injury? And I don't think that's entirely true. I think he lost his spot to injury and a nagging lack of performance because he broke off like gangbusters in the beginning of this year.
Right. He's had like 6 goals through how many games? I'm sorry. It's like 50-something games?
I don't know.
So do you, Anthony? Do you think it's really a John Cooper thing? You think it's sort of a
No. I think it's a more. I'm feeling that it's like a equally amount of we're tired of this from Yzerman and Cooper.
You know, I kind of posed the question this week on Twitter. I mean, if you look at Yzerman's track record throughout Tampa Bay, I mean, we've had three. If should Stamkos leave, that'll be 3 different captains, and then a top prospect that have gone out of town under his watch. And you know, I understand that those are all under different circumstances. Vinny being the contract, Marty St. Louis being the, you know, the Olympic snub / whatever sort of underlying issue that we are still not aware of.
I'm not sure we'll ever find out exactly what happened there.
Right, and Stammer being a money issue with several contracts coming up for the Bolts, namely Victor Hedman next year.
Yeah.
But
yep. And Bishop, we have to decide what we're going to be doing in net.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sold on Vasilevsky, and I'll be damned if we'd let Bishop walk.
He's an all-star now. I mean, he's a... Yeah.
Well, that's, you know...
Well, I mean, it stands to reason that, okay, you look at this, and now you have three captains that he's staring down the barrel of having three captains out of the city and a top prospect, top tier prospect.
Yeah,
that's not good. I mean, if we continue to win, then it's all candy canes and gumdrops. But
oh yeah, W's help everything go down.
It just makes me wonder, you know, like what was it? Why it just feels so eerily similar to like a Marty St. Louis thing. Like, okay, the dude is not getting the playing time he wants, and this in Drouin's case, it's on the actual team. It's in the big show. In Marty St. Louis' case, it was on the Olympic roster. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I get it, but you got to look at like. Tampa Bay, especially Tampa Bay Lightning, the hockey market in Tampa Bay, it's a different thing to play for. If you have no idea what a player's mindset is, they might be needing that hockey culture, you know, like
I want to
envelop themselves within hockey as more than just a sport. And down here, we just don't have it.
It's his entire life. He's worked his entire life to get here. And he's hurt because... You know, the first blow I imagine was the whole playoff snub. I mean, he didn't get a whole hell of a lot of playing time, at least what he thought he was going to get in the playoffs. And now this season we're kind of dicking him around, sending him back and forth to Syracuse. Granted, he's had some quote unquote lower body injuries, but I want to read what Anthony's saying because he's very passionate about this and he wants to get it out. He says, I really think that Cooper does not like him for whatever reason. Offense has been struggling and you send a highly skilled winger down. Why? He's healthy now. Fucking play the kid, is what he's saying. And I can't but agree with Anthony here. I mean,
maybe that's what they're trying to do. Maybe they're trying to get him all the playing time and the top one and two lines on Syracuse. And maybe he's just being impatient.
It's such a unique situation because... You have a team.
Okay. Well, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but Anthony put Drouin sat for a whole year, not a word. Well, when you're within your first and second year as a player, you don't get to have a word. They put you where they need you as an organization.
And maybe that's what it is with having a former player as a GM. He's maybe Yzerman. I understand. First of all, I understand that it's both Cooper and Yzerman, so I'm not trying to lump all the blame on Yzerman. But I mean, Yzerman came out of he came out of the juniors and he started his first year with Detroit. He was in the fucking lineup and finished second in the Calder Memorial Trophy voting. He was an integral part to that Red Wings franchise, especially in the 90s. But when he was drafted, he was right in the shit, man. So you gotta think that.
I think it was a different game back then too.
That's true. I mean, well, the Red Wings were also a different franchise that were looking for somebody to bring them up.
Yeah, they needed that torchbearer.
Yeah, and the Lightning have just come off of a Stanley Cup run, and we don't necessarily need a bailout, or we don't need we're not the team needing to start Jameis Winston the first year because we suck that bad. We're the team.
No,
that's,
we're not near that.
Yeah, we're the team that's really good, and we just happen to be loaded with talent.
I think I think there's a way we can make everybody's wishes work here. Like, send her into a team that really does need a top six forward.
It sucks, man. I really don't want to lose. I hate losing Drouin, but we're gonna have to. I mean, you can't put him out there again. I mean, you can't tell him to go fuck himself and then start playing him.
No, but we could use a top six forward because fucking Matt Carl's out there still every game.
It's true.
Fuck that.
Or like, we can use some kind of like a puck handling defenseman, or
yeah, just someone who gets the puck out of the defensive zone one move. Like, can we have that? Yeah. I want that, please.
Yeah, I mean, some of the offers that I've seen for Drouin, like I think what the Rangers were like, we'll give a Yandel and a bunch of picks. It's like,
well, I'd say this much because Anthony is definitely spirited, and I appreciate this part of his, you know. Diligence with the Lightning because it sets us straight a few times. But I think Stammer needs to get over the idea that he's only a center. I know it's his favorite position, but we need to... I think what we have is in Stammer is a scenario in which your best player in his best position isn't what's best for the team.
Anthony says he's the perfect fit to maximize Stammer, and I to that I say he was the perfect fit because there's no way they play together.
Well, he was the ultimate passer.
Yeah.
But you can't yet. Yeah, you can't. This is Marty St. Louis all over again. You cannot play and have harmony on a team with a disgruntled, with a publicly disgruntled player.
Oh yeah, it's not going to happen. It's done. He's done in Tampa. I mean, it's just a matter of when.
That's the only reason. Look, I would love to keep Drouin. I really would, but I think this has gotten an elevated. This has gone too far, and this whole situation is elevated to a point beyond recovery.
Just like our season as a whole. I mean, isn't this just our season where like. I can't point to any one thing that is really the problem. I mean, you know, Cooper and Yzerman, they certainly haven't done their best in handling Drouin. You know, Drouin has also been injured, and he's been up and down, and he hasn't produced like we thought he would be producing. Granted, he's still very young. It's very early on in his career. But it's just a lot of different things that it's just like the perfectly shitty situation.
It is. It's perfectly shitty.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of it. He's going to be gone. I mean,
of course he's going to be gone. And you know what? He's going to be good for another team. He will be. Mark my words. Drouin will make the All-Star team with another team.
Let's pair him with one of our heavier contracts of a guy we can lose and then re-sign Stammer, and that'll make me feel better.
Yeah, let's see if we can ship Matt Carr out with him.
Christ almighty, if we lose Jonathan Drouin and Steven Stamkos in the same season, just fucking kill me. Just fucking like the dude in the elevator in The Departed, like Matt Damon in the elevator in The Departed. Just fucking kill me, man. Just fucking kill me.
Nope, you're gonna have to live with it, man.
I guess so. That's sports, isn't it?
You know what? Post Drouin, post Cooper, post Stamkos, post there's still gonna be a Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate.
What did we say the other podcast? That Amalie Arena sign is going to light up with or without Stamkos, Cooper, Vinny Clavier, St. Louis, anybody, whoever, whatever.
You know, it's just once you take a public stance opposing the team or at least a team representative, you know, and like in this case what he does against Cooper or Stamkos, you can't do that. You can't go against what is more permanent than you. Like, it would be one thing if Aaron Rodgers started to spout off about McCarthy and his play calling ability. Because you know what? Rodgers is going to stay. He's going to be the one that has some longevity.
Yeah. No one's bigger than the team.
Well, the thing is if Drouin's really picking a fight, starting with the head coach and the GM is not the fight you want to pick.
Not a best practice as one.
Yeah. you're not going to win most of those. Yeah. And I don't know how it got out. I really don't. I mean, maybe Anthony does. But
his agent, it came out publicly. Like,
well, then it's on him. You know what? You're the one who burned your bridge in Tampa Bay. We maybe not wanted it. We didn't want it burned the whole way, and he was the one who lit the fire.
Well, look, I think I do. Both sides have a point here. I can understand to a certain extent why Drouin has been treated the way that he's been treated in Tampa. Because of the talent on the roster currently this year, I suppose this year it would be the exception. And then I understand Drouin. Drouin wants to have his playing time. He wants to start every game. He wants to be out there in the first, second, or third line, or you know something like that. He doesn't want to be out there mucking it up with JT Brown and you know whatever fucking jabronis.
You don't get to make that call. You're not the coach.
It's true. You're right.
Like, and I'll say this, Anthony said his agent was the one who made it public.
Yeah.
Fire that agent.
No.
No, I'm just saying, as a player, you cannot stand behind your agent's faults. You're the one who appointed him. You're, you know, a power of attorney.
Yeah. From what I hear, the agent's a little scummy, too. He's one of those.
Then don't have that agent.
He's one of those.
That is not on the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is not on me as a fan. That is on you as a player.
I guess he's like one of those Drew Rosenhaus. You know, what is the other dude? The big guy in baseball. He's I don't know.
I was about to say Drew Rosenhaus was the only other name I could.
Rosenhaus, and then there's some guy in baseball who's like a big fuckhead. I think he's Longoria's agent, and he's like definitely.
Oh, wonderful! Awesome!
Yeah. Yeah, some kind of Boris something, Boris Johnson.
Yeltsin? Boris Yeltsin?
Boris something, Boris something, Boris Karloff. Fucking
President of Russia.
President of Russia. Anthony makes a couple of good points. Didn't Marty St. Louis and Vinny LeCavia have both requested trades in the past? But I was reading an article by Bob McKenzie today that was that seemed to indicate that Drouin's case is sort of unique in that the press release or at least making it public or something like that. I forget what it was, but I don't know. Fucking Bob McKenzie told me it was right, so he knows. he works for TSN, don't you know? So it's fucked up, man. It sucks. Sucks we're gonna lose him. Hope we don't lose Stamkos in the same season, but it's looking like that's gonna happen too. So
Fuck Drouin. I won't be able to handle if we lose Hedman and Stamkos. I can't.
We're not. I mean, let's be honest, we're not.
Yeah, say that.
It's gonna be one or the other, or perhaps we keep both, but I mean I think we're not gonna lose two gigantic players like that in a matter of 2 years. Therein lies the problem. It's like, do you rob Peter to pay Paul? It's that whole thing.
Yeah, but when you represent Peter and Paul,
definitely in a Kane and Taves situation here, buddy. There are going to be two big old contracts sitting on this roster potentially, or just one big old contract.
Yeah. I would argue that Hedman deserves it more than Stamkos. He's been more consistent, more impactful, yeah. and I don't know. As much of a premium as offense is being put on in today's NHL, I would say a top five defenseman is more important to you than a top five forward.
Yeah. Well, that's a topic for next year. I mean, we've beat the Stamkos thing to death. At this point, it's just like, let's see what happens.
Yeah, we just gotta wait. Speculation on speculation.
Yeah. So, I think with all of that being said, Hedy with the C on his chest. That'll be.
I can see that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that too. Remember when everybody hated him?
Everybody hated him because nobody understands that in hockey you need at least one to maybe two seasons to get your defensive legs underneath you.
Yeah.
It's a completely different game than the minors.
By everyone, I mean Steve Dumais, so let's take that as you will. Okay. Let's take a moment to reset. I'm gonna refill my refresh my ice and then
I need another beer.
Yeah, I'm gonna reset the mixer here so we can let everybody know.
Whoop.
We're going to come back second half of the podcast strong. We're going to talk it's going to be all football. We're doing all football next half. So,
not just Bucks either. We're going to do playoff predictions and everything else.
Yeah. So it's looking like it's going to be a long podcast. So everybody fucking strap in. Get your new drinks. And we will see you after this commercial break. Boom shakalakalaka. What's up, guys? It's Kyle here to talk to you about audibletrial.com/shark. I'm interrupting this podcast. Fuck this shit. I'm coming on in. I'm muscling in. I need to tell you about some books, son. If you go to audibletrial.com/shark, of course, as you know, as frequent listeners to this podcast, I've been saying this for close to a year now. Happy anniversary. You can get yourself a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. You can get one of their 180,000 titles. It's a great service. I use it a lot when I am driving or when I'm at the gym or when I just don't feel like reading. When I don't feel like reading. They just put all the Harry Potter books out there, as narrated by Jim Dale, fucking classic shit. You can go and hear any number of books. That I just read The Martian by Andy Weir. That's on Audible, and it's a very entertaining look at the. Well, it's actually a really good look at the what it could be like to land on Mars. But if you've actually seen the movie, it's a good thing to like read the book or at least listen to the book because you get a little extra content, you get a little stuff that they couldn't throw in the movie, leave in the book. So once again, that address is audibletrial.com/shark. Go there now. If you have an Android, an iPod, a Kindle, an MP3 player, guess what? They got books for you, son. So, we're back from break. And by we, I just mean just me. Because this is being recorded at 6:15 Thursday morning. The morning after Nick and I actually recorded this podcast. And we get done. We're done, Nick and I, as I usually do. And about 10 minutes later, my phone blows up and, like, absolutely blows up. What the fuck's going on? Hey, have you seen the news? Kyle, your comment. You know, what are your thoughts? What happened? What the hell happened? So I get on Twitter, I go and look, and Lovie Smith was fired. And I don't know what to think. My first reaction, knee-jerk reaction, was this is bad. This is the third head coach that we've fired in as many years. Raheem Morris, Greg Schiano, Lovie Smith. Can't seem to find a guy after Gruden. You know, we're going to be that team on Thursday Night Football or where they bring up that graphic. They show, in search of a head coach. Who are they going to pick? Who's going to be the right guy? A lot of folks are saying that it won't matter as long as we have Jameis. I don't know. Is this how you develop a quarterback? By firing the head coach right off the bat? We had some good things going, didn't we? There's no guarantee Coder's going to stay. I guess that's something that everybody's assuming, but we don't know. Nobody's heard anything, heard or seen anything. I guess a lot of will be revealed today on Thursday. I mean, there's going to be some comments made, obviously, by the ownership and the staff, but who knows, man? My first reaction was just bad. But you know what? I can see why he was fired. Darrell Revis being one of them. Remember when he released Revis? I mentioned it all the time on the podcast. Release Revis. Yeah, you're getting Alteron Verner. Hey, you're getting the guard. What's his name? Anthony Collins. We're gonna have him on the team, and I'll tell you what, he's gonna bring a hell of a thing to our offensive line. And you know what? George Johnson too. George Johnson's gonna bring him in and. We're gonna turn this goddamn team around, and none of that panned out at all. Couldn't seem to adjust the defense accordingly. Couldn't seem to do anything at all with the defense in his 2-year tender. And most coaches only need 2 years. Like I've said many times before, you're hard pressed to find a coach that doesn't turn it around year two, regardless of situation. Ron Rivera being maybe one of the few exceptions to the rules, but. You're hard pressed to find a coach that doesn't turn it around the second year. I still don't know. It's still very fresh. I just had a night of sleep on it, and I'm still processing it. I'm still processing all the information here. Sounds like I'm acting like someone's dying. It's just a fucking head coach got fired. But I guess it's just like okay, we're another joke. It's another joke year. You know, half the people are like, wow, good. And the other half are like, what the fuck? I don't know what to think, to be honest with you. To me, it says next year, another down year. Year after, we'll see. Could get better. We just start the rebuilding process all over again. New personnel is going to be brought in. New defense is going to be had. We don't know if Cutter's going to stay, so new offense might be had. You know what would be the worst thing if Cutter just goes and gets hired by Miami or New York or some fucking team. A lot of uncertainty right now, and the one thing I feel like I am certain about is that we're not going to be a good football team next year. Sorry to say it. I mean, that's just how it goes, but you never know. You never fucking know. Anywho, what you're about to hear is Nick and I's take from Wednesday night, where we assumed that Lovie Smith was still the coach. He had his press conference and did a radio show, and we were all assuming, hey, I guess he's back third year. Here we go. Let's build on these slight improvements that were made and see if he can actually fix the defense, if he can retool the thing. But he's not even going to get a chance to do that. We're going to have a whole new defense, I assume. Unless let's have Kurt Coder become the head coach. Bring in Rod Marinelli. You don't have to change much personnel wise. And then I don't know. Hire somebody on offensive coordinator. Bring back Marcus Arroyo. I'm sorry. I couldn't even complete that thought. I don't know. I would have preferred that the club be patient. I would have preferred to keep him a third year. But on the other hand, I can definitely see why he was fired. 8-24. We had the playoffs right in front of us, and we blew it. And the thing that he was brought in to correct, he never really did. It just continued to get worse. We talk about it a little bit on the podcast after this. So just kind of want to slip this in there because it's huge news, and I don't want to go a whole week with having a podcast out there when that we talk about Lovie Smith still being employed when he's not anymore. So I'm going to throw it over to myself right now and Nicholas and into their capable hands where we're going to talk about some Bucks and not too much Lovie Smith talk in there, but I mean, I guess bear with it. Just take it as you will and laugh at our optimism as we're like, well, maybe Lovie Smith could do it next year because he's not going to. And be a new head coach probably, by Monday, next Monday or next week. Got to get a head coach in there quick. Got to think it's Cutter. If it's not Cutter, then I have no hope. If it's Cutter, at least I have a little bit of hope that there's going to be like a rapport with Jameis and, he'll get better and there'll be some consistency on the offensive side of the ball where things are doing well. If it's not Coder, then I don't fucking know. It could be like a Raheem Morris situation. You guys remember when Raheem Morris was promoted to defensive coordinator, then Denver goes and interviews him and the Glazers are like, wow, crap, we could be losing our prodigy. And they up and hire him as head coach. Could be something similar to this where, Coder's getting a lot of offers, and so the Glazers see that, and they want to keep him. And, I guess some of the reports that came out were that Lovie's unwilling to make staff changes, so he is, so this was that was a reasoning behind it. So we'll see. We'll see, man. I don't know. Coder comes in as head coach. I'll have a little bit of hope. I don't know. Wait, what are we going to bring? Tom Coughlin? That's another thing, too. Some of the player reactions were just, he's a player's dude. He's a player's guy. I mean, he was very nice to the players, and the players still have a lot of respect for him, especially Levante David, who made a comment that something about all the coaches, two coaches in 3 years or something similar to that, and how or three coaches in his tenure, something like that, which I have to agree with, man. I mean, I'd be frustrated, too. Look, these guys are tired of losing, and they – that now they got to go and learn a whole new. Now everything's uncertain for them. Is this good for player morale? No, I got to think it's not. At least for some, maybe some wanted them out, but it seems like most are pretty upset about it. Major Wright, Levante David, Gerald McCoy, being who he is, kind of on the slide does it. But I suspect we'll hear more in the coming days and. Certainly, this podcast will be dated by the time it hits your ears, in terms of what has happened. As it's like I said again, it's 6:30 on Thursday morning, so there's going to be a lot that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. I'd like to say that I'm optimistic, but to me, it just feels like the joke continues for the Buccaneers. We're perennial laughing stocks. My dad always said, "Hey, you guys, we're the laughing stock of the league," and because that proves true here as well. So, anywho, I'm going to let you guys go. Go listen to the second half of the podcast. A lot of good football talk. And laugh at our optimism. See you guys. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the show.
You enjoyed all those lovely commercials.
Hopefully they were good for you. Hopefully they were as good to you as they were to me. So, yeah. Watch that Panthers game this weekend, son. How'd that shit go for us?
Well, the actually watching it part of the game.
Who did anybody have us winning that game?
Nope.
Yeah. Nope. Not a goddamn person. Not a goddamn person. What's up, Marquise? Marquise wants to come on to do a wrap up podcast. I'm down for that.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna do a little bit of that right now, but you know, you're always welcome on the podcast.
It's gonna be like that Diet Coke version before we actually do it. And
yeah, you're always welcome back, sir.
Well, it's. I mean, we're not going to talk about hockey all season. Say that much. As much as I fucking love it, we're not going to be able to. We are not going to be able to survive on just the Lightning.
Yeah, we will. That's true. Yeah, we're entering a strange time right now where there's no baseball and there's just hockey.
Oh, Jer Bear, don't fret. This isn't just the Bucks. This is all football. This is a football time.
It's all football. We got to talk about the Bucks, right?
Yeah.
Or must we? Or should we just skip it and say Bucks lost, like everybody expected? There's nothing to talk about with that game, is there?
No, there's not. I would rather talk about Josh Freeman winning a game.
Yeah. Didn't he split time with like some other dude?
I have no idea.
With like dude McShamus or something? Something like that. I don't know. He's I know he split time. He threw one touchdown and threw an interception.
Lindley.
Yeah. Good for him. Good for Josh Freeman. I wish him all the luck. But let's move on to our current quarterback, which is Jameis Winston, who
might I add, had a rather spectacular rookie season.
He had a good rookie season. The wheels kind of fell off with the team towards the end there, and not a lot of people are talking about that. Oh, we can't talk about it. Jameis is the greatest.
Whatever, greatest or not, he still went 0-4 in the last four games.
He's a rookie. He hit a little bit of the rookie wall there at the end. So.
Well, you know, that makes complete sense because there's a definite amount of games played more in the NFL than is college. So,
yeah.
Because even if you go to the bowl, even if you go to the championship game, you're still only playing like 14 games a season.
Oh, I want to show you guys something. I can even give you the audio of it. Did you see that video with Jameis Winston?
No.
Where Ali Marpet asks, or Donovan Smith asks Ali Marpet, he says, "Hey man, what do you think would happen if FSU plays the whatever Bumblefuck or Hobarth?"
Oh.
And Ali Marpet's like, he's like, "You know what, man? I think it'll be a close game, but I think Hobarth will pull it off." And fucking Jameis looks at him like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
Yeah, it's okay. Are you high?
Yeah, here, I'll play it for you guys right now. If I can bring up this audio here. Hobart College. It's funny. I guess it was a. You know,
their uniforms look like the Browns.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't be surprised. My internet's going extra slow. What is resolving the source? Thank you to Joe Bucks fan.
If Hobart played FSU, who would win?
I would tell you Hobart would squeak out in overtime.
What the hell? What the
fuck? Squeak away with one picture.
Hobart Z3, bro.
He says Hobart's D3, bro.
I don't know. I love what he does to the team. I love the fact that everybody wants to like follow him. I adore what he has become.
Yeah. Apparently, like, Sander Felespi, I think that's how you pronounce his name, with Buck Nation. Like, a lot of people don't like him. I read some of his stuff, but he came out with an article about a rift developing between Jameis Winston and Gerald McCoy. I mean, what do you make of that?
Gerald McCoy doesn't get the respect he presumes he needs.
Well, it's like Gerald McCoy is being usurped by this young rookie who's taking the reins as the leader of the franchise, and McCoy's like, me, you don't like him. Me.
Well, maybe get more than, you know, single-digit sacks this season, and we'll start following you more.
No, I think McCoy had a fine season.
No, in he spite had a of the good fact season.
He had a torn rotator cuff. The dude had a good season. He was
that's
injured.
That's it. That's all it is. It's not a great season, and he is acting like he needs to be like treated as a great player, and he's a good player. That's it, though.
Let's be honest, though. He had a torn rotator cuff. A lot of people aren't talking about that, and he's playing through some injuries, and I think a lot is being made of this whole stupid riff thing. I think it's all kind of a little bit of bullshit. They're teammates. They're professionals. They're men. They know how to handle this. Look, they're
you
not
know why McCoy was out there with one arm. Because a one-armed Gerald McCoy was still better than what we had as backup.
Better than anything
else
we had.
That's why he was out there.
But I'm speaking particularly on this sort of topic of conversation that's being, or you know, this narrative that's being drawn up of McCoy doesn't like Winston and they're not friends. And you're going to see it more and more this offseason. I know you will. And it's to me, it's silly. It's silly. Stop being a bunch of silly bitches, okay? Look, they're both mm-hmm. men, and they're both professionals. They know how to handle themselves. Stop trying to make more than it has to be, okay?
Yeah, this is another one of those I think the media is stressing because this. Oh, God, what's the first week without Bucks? What happened?
What are we
going to
talk about? McCoy's a piece of shit. Jameis is the future.
Exactly. I think he said. Matter of fact, I think that's what Jameis said. Let's go talk to Gerald about
yeah.
it. What are the reports about Jameis calling you a pussy?
Unspecified reports here from
unidentified
source. Yeah.
Unidentified sources in the Tampa Bay locker room said that Jameis called you a doo-doo head.
Fucking sources. Yeah, it's so stupid. Just everybody take everything with a grain of salt, for God's sakes. I think everybody gets so riled up in this market of like. And they get so starved for football news. I already saw a mock draft. Somebody's like, "Hey, bro, what do you think of my mock draft?" I'm like, "Are you serious?"
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
Like, it's they didn't ask me. Granted, they asked Pulowski and a couple other guys. It's like it's fucking January. Like, what are we doing here? Like, oh, for God's sakes, yeah, okay. Everybody's gonna be projecting us to take Vernon Hargreaves III in the first round. I get it. Yeah, I like that. Is that gonna happen? Who knows. Fuck's sakes. You know, I know Vernon Hargrave III is because everybody's already jerking off over him. So I'm gonna hear it all like for four fucking months of it. Of just like every cornerback prospect ever. I don't care. Why do people mock? What is a mock draft? What is the point of a fucking mock draft? Seriously.
I get the point of mock drafts. I do. But what is the point now? Yeah. We haven't even set the final order yet. Not to mention trades and people declaring and shocks that people aren't going to declare. It's it's a little too early to start.
It's so silly. And then people, yeah. People are like, well, oh, well, you know, you hear who's a free agent now. You know, if we can go get Mario Williams, then, you know. then
yeah, this is when everybody starts coming up their dream wish list for free agents.
So just fuck off. Well, let's talk about some real news. Let's talk about Jameis Winston and the Rookie of the Year voting, and specifically him as he stacks up against Mr. Todd Gurley, who's his biggest competition for Rookie of the Year.
I would say it's an argue. Yeah, it's a two-horse race.
I'm going to be honest here. I think Gurley's going to take Rookie of the Year.
I think he might deserve it.
Yeah.
I mean, he was phenomenal in that offense. He was that offense.
He was the offense. I saw it firsthand when he played the Bucks. The dude is a monster in the backfield for them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, didn't play like a rookie at all.
No, he's the first rookie to rush for 125 yards in four more consecutive games. And that's, you know, ever.
That's intense.
Ever.
And that's pretty hard to do. It's hard to do something like that nowadays.
Yeah, and I think I saw a Pro Football Focus or some sort of article. Winston has 114 points this season. Todd Gurley has 133 points this season.
I mean, you have to argue. I think then the counter argument to that would be who's more important to a franchise, a running back or a quarterback?
Quarterback, for sure. But I mean, it depends. I mean, old school, you know, old school logic has you thinking, well, if you got a guy like a, you know, like an LT or a.
I don't think they're looking at Todd Gurley like that yet.
No, fair enough. I don't think so. I think he's, you know.
Okay, so the numbers for Winston for his Rookie of the Year candidacy read as follows. For the entire year, 4,042 yards.
That's a club record.
Club record, yep. 22 touchdowns and 15 picks.
That is his touchdown, or 22 touchdowns.
22 touchdowns is the highest throwing touchdown mark for a rookie Tampa Bay Buck quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say, I believe he surpassed Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon had like 18, and now he's got 20. Yep. Yeah, so, yeah.
And I'll say this much. I mean, it's not hard to do in this organization, but His 84.2 QBR for the entire season is a record for a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
And he, and you know, everybody likes big, because nobody gives a shit about the quarterback records for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're terrible.
coming prepared with stats, he is also third. I think he might even be higher than
this
that.
Third all time.
Third all time between first overall picks in yards, touchdowns, yards and touchdowns. Sorry.
Yeah, because he's behind Andrew Luck.
I think like Cam Newton or something, or
and I think I think it was Cam Newton.
You think Cam wins MVP? He's got it right.
I think I think he wins MVP if they go to the NFC Championship game.
Man, I hope
if they knock him out before that, I don't think you can give an MVP to a somebody who hasn't made it past the first round.
I want someone to annihilate them so bad. Please just destroy the Panthers. Somebody, please shut Cam Newton is fucking. They play. When I heard them playing the Superman theme when he scored, when he got a first down and then he fucking does the dab as he fuck yourself.
Yeah,
I hate him.
Okay, so I know we talked about this before the podcast, but I actually have worked it out to who wins and who plays who next week.
Wait. Let me.
I know we're not getting a prediction yet. I'm just saying.
Hey, well, you know what? I'm cool with moving on because I just.
Well, no, we have. I have one more Bucks thing that we need. I would like to be brought up.
Well, let's cover that and then we'll dive into the playoffs because, you know, I mean, I had a couple things on my notepad. I'm like, should we fire Leslie Frazier? My answer to that is yes.
I was about to say that's on my list, and my answer to that is yes as well.
Yeah, I mean, is it the right move to keep Lovie Smith? Probably not, but I mean,
we can't keep both of them. I mean, what the fuck do we even have a Frazier for?
My thinking now is like, we're gonna keep him anyways. Is it the best decision? I mean, do you see us being a playoff? He says we're gonna be a playoff team next year, and I don't see it.
I do.
Do you?
Yep.
Yeah, if Jameis is Jameis,
if we all trend as we have been, we'll be a playoff team next year.
You know, we
have
the number five.
I don't know if we're gonna do anything in there.
But. We had the fifth offense in the league this year.
We did really fucking well.
Yeah, 29th defense, but fifth offense.
So that brings up my next point, and I was gonna talk about how Cutter is being viewed as a coaching candidate by a few teams.
That's scary. If he leaves,
that's bad for us. That's bad. Very bad for us.
Yep. Yep, yep,
I mean,
yep.
Would you rather be the offensive coordinator on the Bucs or the head coach for the New York Giants?
Because,
you know, Tom Coughlin's gone.
Giants are going to – they're sniffing – I haven't even heard word one of Giants sniffing around him. Apparently it's been Tennessee and Miami is also a candidate.
Well, I know Tennessee loves what he did with Winston.
I think Cleveland. Didn't Cleveland sniff around?
Nobody's going to go to Cleveland.
Yeah. Cleveland's fucking poison. But so is Tampa at this point. I mean, come on. Are we any better than the fucking Browns?
Yes, we are better than the Browns.
A little bit, I guess.
A few shades.
For Lovey's dream of playoffs next year to be realized, Dirk Cutter has to come back for a second year.
Yep. We need some kind of stability at the offensive coordinator position.
Leslie Frazier needs to get fired.
Yeah, he needs to be you know what? He needs to be demoted to like a secondary coach somewhere.
Look,
and not here because he can't do it.
The fans want blood, and if they're not getting Lovey, then I'm sorry, Leslie Frazier.
you get to step up to the.
You're the one. Yep, Lovey skirted this one. I mean, he did his radio show on Monday, and I don't think he's not gonna get fired. So, step right
six
up.
Wins. Yeah. 6 wins. He took a rookie quarterback and got 6 wins.
Yeah, but that, I mean, we had the playoffs in our sights. All we had to do was pull the trigger, and we fucking Bugs Bunnied where it just backfired in our face. It's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I get it. I get both sides of the argument.
I just thought of a really cool...
I'm cool with keeping the guy. I'm cool with it.
Whatever. I just thought of a really cool Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, like, juxtaposition where we go postseason, off-season, postseason, off-season.
Yeah.
Good shot. That's off-season.
That's basically the fans right now.
Yep.
Like, half the fans are saying, well, we should have made the postseason. The other fans are like, well, wait till the offseason. So,
I heard a Bucks fan the other day. It's just like, well, now we get to look forward to the draft again. It's like, I'm so tired of hearing that. God damn it.
Hey, we made improvements. We now know what our weaknesses are on defense and offense, so we know where we need to plug
we
the
know,
holes.
No, no, no. We know what this year's weaknesses were. That's we have true. No idea what next year's weaknesses
well,
are.
Well, I'm just saying, we know which holes to plug, as opposed to the last 2 years where it was just everything. We need all things.
We need all things.
Now we know that we need defensive ends. We need corners.
You know what? Derek's right. We have to guard against that slant. We need a fucking nickel corner, like, bad.
Yeah. We need a lot, so. Or we need, I'm sorry, we do need a lot, but I'm saying we know where our weaknesses lie, and we know how to correct them at this point. So, I mean, one would think knowing that, and if we return the team that we do next year, or this year to next year, then we would be better? Playoffs or bust. It's playoffs or bust, man. Lovey's firmly on the hot seat at this point.
I wouldn't say playoffs. I would say it's winning record or bust.
It's anything.
Because we go 9-7. I think if the Bucks go 9-7 and miss out on the playoffs, Lovey does not get fired.
Oh man, they'll be pissed. Fans will be pissed.
Yep, they're pissed now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess you're right.
It's like what? No, that's Marquise. True. I'm gonna go down to one buck and play out for corner or try out for cornerback. Pretty sure that I got a decent chance.
Well, let's move on to the teams that actually are in the playoffs.
Ah, the relevant ones.
The relevant teams.
We have four games going on this weekend.
Okay.
I'm just gonna read them off in list form.
Can I just give you my prediction like off
sure,
the bat?
Sure, we can do that. I'll fire it right back.
Okay.
All right. So Saturday's games start off at 4:30, and we've got Kansas City at Houston.
I love Kansas City for some reason. I don't know why. I've always loved Andy Reid, and I think
they're one of the hottest teams. They're genuinely one of the hottest teams.
Yeah, I think Kansas City wins that one against Houston.
Yep, as do I. I have Kansas City over Houston.
Okay.
The 8 o'clock game is Pittsburgh at Cincinnati.
That's right. Pittsburgh squeaked in. That's right.
Yep.
Cincy all day. Give me Cincy.
Yeah, but you got to think this is AJ McCarron, Cincy, not. Andrew
Pittsburgh's Pittsburgh's going to do the. They're going to win this game the same way they won before against Cincy. They're going to break Andy Dalton's ankle. Yeah, they're going to tear his ACL, ruin his career, win, and then go on and Jerome Bennis is going to fumble.
So does that mean you get Houston or Cincy?
I'll take Cincy. I'm going to take Cincy.
I'm going with Cincy as well.
Yeah, the logical right. pick.
So that's Saturday game. Sunday games are Seattle at Minnesota.
That's a very interesting game because they're both very hot teams. Because
this is not in Seattle. This is not the dreaded 12th man bullshit.
Right. This is in the frozen Minnesota North. But the friendly North, though.
I think you can argue that Seattle is one of the other hot teams
they're
in the NFL
very
right,
hot
now.
Team
they,
right now.
They've played
yeah.
garbage the first 4 weeks, and then they've been world beaters since.
Yeah, well, they more or less played the Cardinals in garbage time. The Cardinals didn't give a fuck. They knew the Bucks were going to win. I mean, come on. Who honestly thought we're going to beat Carolina and then miraculously grant them?
Yeah, nobody had us.
The writing was on the fucking wall. So Arizona more or less phoned that game in, and well, I think the Seahawks are pretenders this year a little bit.
Oh, I don't think they make it all the way, but I think they're much more of a. Threat than Minnesota.
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
I'm going to go with Seattle.
In Bridgewater, I trust.
All right, so we finally have a difference between you and I. And the last game on Sunday would be Green Bay at Washington.
Here's what I want to happen for that game. I want Green Bay to be down by at least 30 at the half. I want Green Bay to the Redskins to destroy Green Bay first half, and then Green Bay fucking unleashes second half. And then breaks their fucking heart and knocks the Redskins out of the playoffs and wins. That's what I want to happen to the Redskins. Fuck them.
I'm calling it right now. All of Kyle's tweets for the entire game is like, you like that?
You like that? That's what I want to happen. Because I relive that game. I think like the official NFL account on Twitter, they retweeted the highlights from that Redskins game. And I was like, man, that I'm still so salty about that. So I want,
oh, yeah.
I want the Redskins to dominate first half and then completely blow it in the second half. And Rodgers just mows them down and championship belts them right in the fucking end zone. Yeah.
Well, to make it a little easier for our listeners with my choice, I'm picking Green Bay.
Okay, fine.
So you've got Kansas City over Houston, Cincinnati over Pittsburgh, Minnesota over Seattle, and Green Bay over Washington.
Hold on. Stand by. Stand by for Kirk Cousins.
Fuck.
What a fucking douchebag.
He was a douchebag.
Hey, but you know what? After watching his interviews after this, he does actually seem like a nice dude, and he's like he's embarrassed about it a little bit. But the Redskins are they're handing out "you like that" towels at the fucking game.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah.
You like that?
Fucking douchebag.
is there a more frustrated white guy thing
yeah.
to say?
His white guy canon was just like unchecked that day. He was like, put a silencer on it, bro. Christ almighty.
I'm almost surprised I didn't get a heck yes in there.
So, what do you say for the Redskins and
I say Green Bay. Green Bay is going to win.
Oh, yeah, Green Bay is going to steamroll them. Or at least that's what I hope happens.
All right, so if my math's correct, and football math for me is usually pretty good, if the predictions go my route, go Nick's route, next week will be Kansas City at Denver, Cincinnati at New England, Green Bay at Arizona, and Seattle at Carolina.
Ooh.
So if it goes Kyle's route, looks like the AFC doesn't change, so it's still Kansas City, Denver, and Cincinnati at New England.
Yeah, we agreed on that.
But that changes and makes Green Bay. It means next week's Green Bay at Carolina would be a hell of a game.
Fuck yeah!
And Minnesota at Arizona.
Man, who's gonna take down the Panthers? I just don't see it. Well, I hate them.
Well, let's just say okay. So if Seattle or Green Bay win next week, they're gonna be playing either. Carolina's going to get a rough draw.
Look, I trust the Packers more to beat the Panthers than I do the Redskins, so go Pack, go.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Go Pack.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch the playoffs this weekend. I love the fucking playoffs.
I just think the AFC is such a game. You know, like Kansas City at Houston and Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. Like, I don't know. I think you and I have a complete NFC bias.
We do. We do. We definitely do. Yeah, AFC is kind of Mars. That's why I was like, you know, I don't know. I don't know the Texans and the Chiefs all that well, but I'm just saying I think I want the Chiefs to win. I think they're going to win. There you go.
I don't think Houston can stop the Chiefs because
Braden Coburn.
Hoyer. Who's
he's out my number 55 defenseman out there playing. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, David Deal's not commenting in these games because the Bucs aren't playing. That's why.
Ooh, nice. I like that. I like that. I like that.
You like that?
I do. Mr. Cousins, I do like that. I do like that. He's like, oh, I wasn't expecting this.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, I appreciate that.
You like that?
Bastard.
What a jerk.
Dick. Okay. All right.
I'm out of paper.
I'm out of paper. So am I.
All my stats are done.
I feel like we left the NFL so incomplete. There's so much more I have to talk about, but we're at an hour. I'm ready to get out of here.
Greg Hardy's future's up in the air. Hope he doesn't beat another woman.
Hope he... Wait. Why is his future in the air?
Because they don't know if he's coming back to Big D.
He shouldn't. Go fuck himself. Piece of shit. He's the biggest piece of shit in sports right now.
Oh, wait. Marquise to the rescue, seeing who? Ooh, Mike Tirico and John Gruden for a. Ooh, Kansas City, Houston's going to be a great game.
Oh, okay. Okay. Here we go.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah, Marquise. Okay.
For the Kansas City and Houston game, we got Mike Tirico and John Gruden.
Great.
Pittsburgh at Cincinnati is Jim Nance and Phil Sims.
Eh.
Seattle at Minnesota is Al Michaels and Chris fucking Collinsworth.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck Collinsworth.
Collinsworth
gets goddamn much.
I understand.
Collinsworth, if Collinsworth and Joe Buck could do a game together, they'd eat each other.
Look, Nick. I understand. I'm not the biggest fan of Collinsworth either, but he's a hell of a lot better than some of the fucking jabronis we've seen on the fourth team D team broadcasts. So yeah,
I know, but I would rather get David Deal than Chris Collinsworth.
Oh come now, Nick. Oh come now.
Wait, hold on. I've got something better for this. Who's that quarterback that played for Notre Dame?
Brady Quinn.
Yeah, I would rather have Brady Quinn than Chris Collinsworth.
I agree with that. And then finally, Green Bay at Washington is Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, the dynamic duo. The ambiguously gay duo. The ambiguously gay.
All these are going to be good games.
Yeah.
So excited.
That's what Joe Buck and Troy Aikman remind me of. Do you remember that?
The horrible phlebitis.
Fucking. I got to find that theme song.
Do it later. I'm done. I don't want to talk any more sports.
Wait, hold on. NBC.com. Christ almighty. See, if I was a real radio guy, I'd have this all queued up and ready to go.
Kyle, they've been listening for quite some time. They know we're not real radio people.
We're real radio people.
Gay duel. Oh, when SNL was so much more
entertaining. Okay. All right. Folks, make sure you go to sharkdropper.com. Check out any and all of our podcasts. They are all there for you to enjoy, for your enjoyment, for you to ingest, for you to like.
And they're all there for you to binge.
Seasons 1 and 2 of Doppel Avenue Hurt are out now. End of All Hope, which Nick stars in, is out now. Both fictional podcasts, both well acted, if I do say so myself.
just kind of throwing that out there.
Yeah. So make sure you check those out. Of course, if you do like what we do and you want to find a way to support us, there is a button next to the home button. It's called Patreon. You can click on that and give us a little bit of money. We're actually going to be better about giving you content this year.
Oh, yes. Much more exclusive content for the patrons.
I think one thing, and Nick, maybe you should consider this too. Now that you have a microphone at your house, I'm going to have a microphone at my house. I think I want to do like a podcast called Rapid React, where as soon as like a sports
thing goes down.
Yeah. I'm just going to jump on my computer and just give my immediate reaction and then put it on Patreon. I think
we could do that. We could do like a 10-minute word of the day.
Yeah,
like
10 minutes.
Quick reaction.
That's all you got to do. Or just you yourself. Just rant on something.
We'll do that.
It's all the fuck you got to do. I think I'm going to try to do something like that. Or even like after I see like a movie or something like that, just like a Rapid React sort of podcast, put that out there for our patrons and, have them, have content specifically for them that they can enjoy. That's what Patreon's all about. So we're going to start doing shit like that. Of course, we've already updated it, so we're going to continue to update it. And so if you like what we do and you want to support us, then that's a way.
If you don't want to go that far, you don't want to pledge money yet, go to iTunes, rate and review us. It takes 90 seconds. It's a free way for you to impact us in a very positive way.
Yeah. Be a mensch, as Derek says. So, thank you to Blog Talk Radio for sponsoring us. Thank you, of course, to Audible. Or thank you for Blog Talk for hosting us. Drunk. Too many rums. And thank you to Audible for sponsoring us. That has been Word of the Bay Podcast. I have been Kyle.
I have been Nick.
And we will see all of you motherfuckers next week.
Bye.
minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark. Go, go, go.
The following podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.